Sugar. This here's Lenore Zan, and you're watching Fandoms.
And welcome to Fandoms, a show from every fan's point of view, which used to be what Mickey always said in the recording, which we've got to get that redone. With me tonight is Mickey and a whole slew of Whovians. And so we're going to go ahead and get started in just a moment after we do Pooja's picks. Will Wilkins is not with us this evening. He's doing dad stuff, which is perfectly fine. But we will definitely miss him, especially the fact that I think he was excited for this episode. But Mickey, how you doing? And thank you for hosting with me.
I'm doing great, man. You know, when I heard you guys were talking about Doctor Who, I was like, you know, I got a little knowledge in it. I don't know if I'm quite as knowledgeable as the guests we have tonight, but I'm definitely ready to throw my hat in the ring and talk some Who.
Oh yeah, and I really feel like this is the episode where I have no input whatsoever. I'm just kind of trying to wrangle the cats, and so everyone is going to try to convince me to start watching Doctor Who, which the most exposure I've had is being terrified from the classic Doctor Who episodes that I watched on public television, to watching like clips of, I think the one I see the most is like the Vincent Van Gogh episode. Ooh, on TikTok. Like I see that over and over again. So I've at least seen maybe 10 minutes of Doctor Who, but maybe tonight I will have to be obsessed with something other than comics, movies, and anime. But we'll see. But before we do that, let's go ahead and get into Pooja's picks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another segment of Pooja's Picks. My name is Pooja, and I'm here to bring you the latest in movie news. Let's take a look at all of my picks for the week.
Justice Smith and David Alan Greer team up in the American Society of Magical Negroes, a satirical comedy film directed, written, and produced by Kobe Levy. The film centers around Aaron, a young man who signs up to be a part of a society of magical black people, each of whom aim to make the lives of white people easier and the world much more palatable to them. The film is intended to serve as a commentary on the way black characters are created to be supporting sidekicks that aid white characters, a critique that has existed for quite some time when it comes to film, books, and television. Having seen Cord Jefferson's American Fiction, which takes on a similarly relevant commentary, I'm definitely looking forward to this film. Jake Gyllenhaal stars in Prime Video's Roadhouse, a reimagining of the original 1989 film of the same name. The film focuses on Dalton, a former UFC fighter hired as a bouncer at a Florida Keys roadhouse that has been attracting an unwanted crowd. Fans of the original film may want to check this one out as it brings back the original character of Dalton, and this looks to be very action-packed, not just in the fight scenes, but also in its grander and much more explosive moments. Will you be watching this? Who are you gonna call? The ghost-busting family, the Spanglers. The family returns in Ghostbusters: Frozen Empire with Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, and McKenna Grace reprising their roles. In this adventure, the Spanglers decide to go back to New York and team up with the original Ghostbusters as they develop new research in busting ghosts. However, everything changes when an artifact unleashes something evil that threatens to freeze the entire world. Will the Spanglers and the Ghostbusters be able to save the world once more? You'll just have to find out when the film hits theaters next week.
Well, that's all that we have for this week. Be sure to tune in to the next episode of Fandoms for another segment of Pooja's Picks. Until then, let's get back to the show.
And there's a lot of people in this show. So well, along with Mickey and I, we've got a number of people. I'm going to go ahead and let everybody introduce themselves. We're going to start off with Jonathan Chow. Jonathan, go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I am Jonathan Chu. I am also known as Marvelous Johnny on all my social media pages.
and I completely butchered your last name. I do apologize for that.
You are all good. It's supposed to be Chow, but the British butchered how to spell Chad's last name there. So
okay, so I feel a little bit better about myself. Next, we've got David. David, go ahead and give us a little bit of rundown about you.
Hey, I am David. I am Xanatos1138 on all social media, mostly TikTok while it's still around. But I talk about Star Wars and Doctor Who and a whole bunch of pop culture stuff on there.
And then the most geographically close to me, my buddy Nico. We just spent some time together at AwesomeCon. Nico, tell us about yourself.
Hello, I'm Nico. Nico Skywalker on TikTok, Skywalking Nico on Instagram. I cosplay the Doctor. I love him so much. He's probably my favorite character in fiction.
And you're about to you're waiting for that sonic screwdriver to hit the.
I am. Like, yep. It'll complete the wall.
And then last but not least, contractually obligated to bring this person in last, Tom, off the cuff. Tom, come ahead and tell us about yourself.
Coming at you live and direct straight from a hotel room in Syracuse, New York. My name's Off the Cuff Tom, Nerd Initiative's pop culture connoisseur. You can check me out every single Tuesday night on Nerd Initiative's Turner page. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for having me on this evening.
And you just got done with a panel today.
Nope, tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Okay.
Panel's tomorrow, 10 a.m. or 11 a.m. right here on all the Nerd Initiative socials.
And if you don't know, if you're watching this on YouTube or Facebook or even on Twitter, you also need to know that even though you're on all of those social platforms, if you go to nerdinitiative.com, you will be able to watch this and any other streaming show as it's aired. It's embedded in the actual website, and you'll want to make sure you check that out. The QR code on the upper left-hand side is going to be how you know about Nerd Initiative. It'll take you right to our site. And then also, I'm going to throw this up here too. If you want to be a part of our newsletter is coming out soon. Yes, thank you with a science screwdriver pointing. That will get you to our newsletter from last month, and we are going to be posting a newsletter for this month very soon. And it will be just how to keep in the know of everything that's going on with Nerd Initiative. A couple last minute things. If you are wanting to help us in any way, the merch store is your way to help support us. You can get the embroidered hat like you see there, cups. There are also merchandise for Wrestling Night Live, Turn a Page, and all of the other things that Nerd Initiative is doing. And since Tom was so great about that, I'm going to throw this up here because he's already there. Go ahead and give Off the Cuff Tom a little bit of love and check him out.
Look at all that spatter.
And then you can contact us. You give information if you have any questions or if there's any suggestions about what we can do more of or better. Oh, look at that.
That's so nice.
Omnitrix. That's awesome. My kid will love that. And then if you're interested in comic books, just remember new comic book day every Wednesday. Tons of reviews from the amazing people, including from this guy right next to me, Mickey, is also doing reviews. And then also on Thursday nights and also right before and after any pay-per-views, if you are into professional wrestling, you'll want to check out Wrestling Night Live. I think that's the best way we can go with it. There's lots of things going on. And then also you'll want to check out, I'm just going to say this because they've got also a panel going on this week, Hops Geek News. They're doing a panel at GalaxyCon in Richmond, which I probably should physically be there, but I'm not because it's happening in my state, and it would be just another opportunity to hang out with Matt. And I will tell you guys, if you saw on social media, we were able to do the Expanding the MCU panel at AwesomeCon. Was so much fun. They gave us a really nice convention room. It was a lot better than last year. The projector actually worked for us this time because we were able to plug in our computer. And the crowd was good. I told them we were like one of the first, we were the first panel in that room when they first opened on the first day. And I was convinced we weren't going to get anybody, and we had over 50 people. So, it was fantastic, but that's not what we're here for. We're 9 minutes into this thing. We need to get started. So guys, here is your challenge. I know very little about Doctor Who. You guys know a lot about it. And of course, fandom touches every type of fandom. So you guys get to go off on Doctor Who. Who would like to start?
Tom. Okay, we're doing shoddy not. Okay, then I guess David.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing. All right. All right, so I prefer, if you wanted to start off Doctor Who, you start off with the Ninth Doctor. That's how I started. And if you're like me, and Nico can attest to this, when I was watching The Ninth Doctor, I was like, man, this is so cheesy. What's going on? Like, I was the whole way. But by the end of the first season, I'm like, I love this. And I binged it for days afterwards until I was finished. It really hooks you by the end of that first season.
Okay.
All right. So
what?
I want to just say that this is hilarious that you guys are like struggling who what to say.
You're polite.
Because I created a Discord group for those of you who are watching last night and just said, hey, this is a great place for you guys to post pictures. And it was like Tom was at work and he had to mute the channel because it was like Mickey came in and was like, I have 40 messages that are coming in. Like they weren't quiet last night, but now.
Okay. So, all right, I will put it out here. So Tony, you're not familiar with Doctor Who. The best thing that I can say is it is a show that has been going for 60 years. It has a very long legacy that you don't have to be afraid of. You know, the best way to always get into Doctor Who is to start when the new Doctor starts and you'll pick up stuff as you go. A lot of people say there's new Who versus old Who. Yes, that is a very true thing because there was that almost 20-year gap that we didn't have anything on TV, with the exception of the quote-unquote American reboot that they tried to do. But thanks, Fox. Yeah, screwed that one up too. At the end of the day, it is about a man who a person, excuse me, I apologize, Jody. It is about a Time Lord who goes through and tries to right wrongs and do what we would perceive as morally right. There's a little bit of a gray area sometimes in the whole butterfly effect, but at the end of the day, it is about doing the right thing and looking at the big picture and realizing that you are a much smaller cog in the gear of the universe. And trust me, what you do still matters. That's how I see it.
That's okay, honestly,
be honest you talk about the Who. Classic stuff. The only Doctor Who I was ever exposed to when I was younger was I think it was the classic Doctor Who. It felt like a side scrolling. It was the one that had like the portal thing that was like the ending. And I don't know why, but it terrified me as a kid. I'm like, this is creepy. Like, I don't understand this. And then of course you had them running through like these different corridors. And all of a sudden there's this Dalek that was just kind of slowly creeping
before they could even go upstairs. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. But no, was it like Tom says, like the start of any Doctor is a good start, but honestly, like not only is like the start of a Doctor an excellent place to begin, honestly, whenever a new companion comes on as well, that is just as good of an opportunity, I think. So, while yes, you know, you got your episode one, series one, Rose with the Ninth Doctor, you could honestly also hop on around series five with the 11th if you really wanted to, right when the 11th Doctor tenth Doctor regenerates at the 11th and then meets Amelia Pond for the first time.
Yeah, especially with 11, because 11 felt very network television, like each... Yeah. Yeah. Doctor had a whole different spin on it.
Yeah, that was when they also got a brand new showrunner and everything, so like it very much felt like just a slight easy little reset, almost like a brand new number one in comics.
Okay, so whereas we have the issue with like, let's say the MCU, where you have all of these different phases and people think that they have to go back and watch all these things, you can start with a new Doctor. And how often do we get new Doctors?
Usually every 3 seasons.
3 to 4.
Yeah.
3 to 4 seasons. So late with modern Who, it's usually been a maximum of 3 seasons total.
Okay. Now, is it normal for a Doctor to come back like David Tennant did for this last little stint?
Very often, yeah. Even in classic Who, you would still have multi-Doctor stories where other Doctors
would have the multi-Doctor story in, say, one or two episodes, but to have a small through line with the character coming back and actually taking the role of the next Doctor is a completely new take.
That's unique to David Tennant.
Yeah.
Okay. So with a new Doctor or a new companion being a good place to come in, let me ask you guys, and this was not on our list of things to talk about, but I'm going to ask each one of you this, what resonated with you with the Doctor? Like, you know, what caused you to relate so much to that, whatever Doctor was that was your favorite or what got you started? Like, what made you really feel like this was something I wanted to be a part of?
I got it.
Yeah, go for it then, Tom.
For me, it was the fact that even though it was a sci-fi show, every week was different. Yes, you still had this, the common tropes of, you know, villain of the week or, you know, problem of the week. And did my camera just turn off or did, okay, just auto
for a quick moment.
Yay, it's live. You know, villain of the week or problem of the week, but the opportunity that you got with the Doctor being able to go anywhere in space and time, you know, you never knew exactly what you're going to be. You could have one episode where you're in 16th century England, and then the next one you're in the middle of 1920s New York City.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for me, I always enjoyed the fact of the opportunities that it gave to storytelling and, oh, well, where are we going to be next?
So would you say, in a sense, if a person was a fan of Quantum Leap, Doctor Who? Yeah. Okay. Because I was a big fan of Quantum Leap way back when. So okay, you're appealing to me. Who else? What resonates with you about the Doctors?
I was going to say, at least for me, here's the thing. Like, I've seen a bit of Classic Who. You know, I've never seen a complete season, so I can't speak to the classic stuff. But when it comes to New Who, what I personally love is just those consequences. Because a lot of time when something bad happens, it happens. It sticks with the Doctor. You can see that trauma throughout, even later on when a new Doctor comes in. Sometimes it's subtle. It doesn't make you feel like you need to go back to understand it. But if you do see it, if you have seen it and you understand it, it hits so much harder. And just on top of that, like, when you start off with the Doctor, he's just very, he's pretty much grizzled, a little bit cynical. And as I kept watching, you see a little bit of that classic Doctor Who that I think is what a lot of the original fans pretty much loved about the character. And then just the happiness and joy that this character is able to inhabit when they're willing to put it out there. It's just such a breath of fresh air, especially in a current day of media where everything needs to be dark and gritty.
Okay.
I love how he'll make it happen. Like, when I'm going through Doctor Who and it's like, oh, there's no way. The Doctor doesn't care if he has to take his thumbs, rub them together, and light a fire. He'll figure it out and it'll work itself out. But sometimes it doesn't. And those, like Johnny said, those sad moments where it's like, dang, the Doctor really didn't do it. And you can see the grief build up. And it's like, onto new regenerations, or it's like, I'm going to just like abandon all that old life, old trauma. New stuff, something reminds me immediately the same old man, even across all the different actors. And I love that through line, even through a show that has different actors playing the same character.
Yeah.
Okay. So with the Doctor, I think, and I think this will appeal to you, Tony, as well. What makes him really interesting to me is that he's one of the most complex superheroes like you could ever come across. Like, there's no bounds to what the Doctor can do. And that is all these things he can do, all this technology has, anywhere he can go, or I'm sorry, they can go. Yet the Doctor is always concerned for like humans or the smallest creatures or those that can't help themselves or something that may would seem insignificant to anyone else. The Doctor, you know, is interested in those things. And the fact that he can somehow, or the Doctor can somehow relate to people like that or species like that, whatever it may be, and just have hope for them and instill hope in them. That's what was always really cool about the Doctor to me.
Okay, cool. Now we did come together and put some pictures into this. So what I want to do is we went over this before, so you guys kind of know what pictures are there. I hope I didn't butcher it up too much, but let's go ahead and just kind of go back and forth between them, and you guys can either explain like what was important about you adding this, because here basically for those of you watching or for you those of you who are listening, I'm going to try to make sure that these images are available for you. Of course, if you're listening to this, you can always go back and watch this show on YouTube, but at the same time, I'll try to make it available that you can find it elsewhere. I asked the guys to put together a compilation of a couple things. I had three questions basically for them. How does someone new get into Doctor Who, which we kind of answered that already. Number two was kind of also answered just now by explaining the Doctor. I just asked it in a little bit of a different way. But then the third one was picking their favorite Doctor Who moment or season or whatever it was, something that resonated with them. And of course, they sent me lots of pictures. And we also realized that this show is going to have to go into multiple parts. because when you talk about Doctor Who, you have to also talk about a lot of other things that are associated with it. And one of the things that was mentioned was the companions.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I know that there have been a lot of people that have left from Doctor Who as companions and have gone off to do big and great things. I can think of like John Barrowman, Billy Piper, Karen Gillan. And of course, the only reason why I even know those names is not because I watched the show, but because anytime I've been to, gone to a convention, those have been the names that have been added. And of course, me being a Marvel fan, knowing Karen Gillan is absolutely, you know, obvious. And John Barrowman, though a lot of people know him from Arrow, mm-hmm. You know, Doctor Who was the thing. And then there was also, I think, a spinoff.
Torchwood.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like it should be a third episode. We should.
I was going to say we should do another episode solely on the villains as well, but we'll discuss that later.
Eccleston brothers or whatever it is, and like their superstition and stuff, which is not Doctor Who related, but there's so many other shows and stuff that I think resonate with people that we definitely have to do episodes on. And so we'll definitely be getting into that. But let's go ahead and go through this real quick. Not real quick. Let's take our time. Let's marinate. We're going pretty fast. So first up with Doctor Who, I was given these pictures, and I know this is the Lewis Capaldi doctor. Peter Capaldi. I'm sorry. I don't know which doctor this is.
Don't even ask about the numbering anymore. Honestly, it is
Tony, so confusing. Tony, this is the part where you'd be quiet.
Okay, hold on. Here, we make this simple. Go.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so this collage here was mostly because of me, because the 12th Doctor, technically the 12th Doctor, the official numbering, is my personal favorite Doctor, okay? When he first came out, a lot of people were a little bit off-put by him because he was back to being an old man. He wasn't the hot, young, brown-haired stud that he was before or in the last two incarnations. But Peter Capaldi embodies everything I love about the Doctor. He has the fun, whimsical aspects of it, but he can also play that madman with a box, you know? He talks to himself a lot, and he has some of the hardest and probably the most powerful moments for me in Doctor Who, especially in the image shown here. We have, Hellbent, and just punching that just, oh my god, I just thinking about it makes... It just makes my skin tingle. Oh, my Lord. But yeah, no. 12th Doctor embodies everything I love about Doctor Who. He has some of my favorite episodes. Flatline being like a classic version of a Doctor Who episode to me. You got your monsters. You got your Doctor in a weird predicament. You have your fun solutions and funny moments. But you also have those hard-hitting moments, especially. So, yeah.
I love the 12th Doctor.
Yeah. Oh,
he does not get the love he deserves.
I completely agree. And I loved how his transition went through the whole season, you know, being the hard ass and then finally realizing, you know, who he was or what he was and what he could bring, you know, and then you go from waistcoats to hoodies.
Yeah. Yeah. And then eventually the Sonic sunglasses, which a lot of people hate.
I love them.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Great.
They're great. They work with the guitar, especially. Exactly. Yes. Tom's
going off that, the moment he broke out that electric guitar, like without spoiling it, but like when he broke that out, I was sold. I was completely sold on Capaldi.
And then he pulls an axe fight joke. I'm like, okay, this is it for me.
Now, I will say, if I can add on here, I know someone who might be in the room here, not in this room, but in the room I'm physically in, who wasn't a particular fan of Capaldi. But I think that was more the writing than the actor.
Hmm. Absolutely. Like, there were definitely some episodes back in Series 8, which I don't love personally even. The moon dragon.
I loved that. I love like that was such a weird episode.
That's the great thing about Doctor Who. Just because I don't like it doesn't mean other people can't, right? It's the fun campiness aspect of it that can appeal to almost anyone who's willing to accept it. Just personally for me, it wasn't for me. And then we had the forest episode where the entire planet got engulfed in forestry.
I love that one. That's one of my
See? I'm just the weird Doctor Who fan then, I guess.
No, you're good.
But yeah, no, to honestly, like, from those beautiful, heartfelt moments as well, I gotta bring up, since we have a picture of him with the guitar, him playing Clara's theme to canonically add her theme that we have been hearing since, like, what was it? Series 13. Just hearing that played on electric guitar, it still makes me cry to this day. I'll listen to it when I'm feeling low. And it triggers all the emotions for me. I don't know about you guys, but that one just lives rent-free in my mind.
I love it so much. Just Capaldi. And Clara and Capaldi love that dynamic so much.
Best favorite Doctor Who duo.
All right, so this was my choice for one of my favorite Doctor Who episodes. And my favorite Doctor as well. I watched from season 9. You know, I started out, and I think David brought it up. Like, it was hard to get through, but by the end, I was in love. And then, like, wait, what's happening? We're switching doctors. Like, what is this? Because I didn't know a lot about Doctor Who. So I went back and, like, oh, they're going to bring in somebody new. And I was like, who's this guy? Like, I don't know, man. First episode or second episode, I think it was a two-parter. Mm-hmm. By the end, I was like, oh, I'm sold. This was, like, it for me. I was hooked for real. And then what I loved about Tennant was he was really close to, like, an anti-hero a lot of times. In this particular episode, I think it's The Family of Blood is what it was called. This was the first time watching Doctor Who where I was like, I'm afraid of him. Like, he's scary, actually. Like, he could be a villain, but in a way. Because he said he had mercy on these people. He's like, I was trying to let you be. I was trying to let this go down clean and clear. You guys are chasing me. You want my life essence. You want to be immortal and use me to be immortal. And I was like, I was just trying to get away from you. And they wouldn't stop. You know,
no, they would not.
They pushed him too far, and they realized that this guy, and they say it in the ending there. We thought he was running from us, but he was just trying to spare us, because what he does to them when, like, they threaten all those, they start killing people in the village they're in. And they, you know, they're threatening Martha, who is a very underrated companion. She's probably top three in my opinion.
Love her.
And Joan, who also, man, this is a heartbreaking moment too, where he gets to, like, live. He sees what life he could have had if he had stayed, because he becomes a human to hide from them. He sees what life he could have had if he'd stayed human, and it breaks him. And he makes them pay, and he does some awful things, some really cool things. I was like, man, that is brutal, but that's pretty cool.
That was like the creativity behind what he does was like, oh man, that is brutal.
Like, they said, he wanted to live forever, so he did that. But it wasn't, you know, like, the guy had to live as a scarecrow for the rest of his life. The father was like, I forgot, he was thrown into a pit or something, chained up in some chains made by in a dark star or something like that. I love what he did to the, I don't love, it's cruel, but the little girl in the mirror, she lives in all mirrors now. Like, she's stuck in there forever. And then the mother was, like, I think stuck in a neutron star where she lives in, like, I don't know. She lives the same, like, seconds over and over again or something. But
I think something like
I thought that was a really deep, we got a lot of depth with David Tennant in that, those two episodes, and they still stick with me today. Like, I think about them all the time.
No, I think it speaks to a lot of David's strength too, as to why he's the major, like, for a lot of people, their favorite doctor, right?
Yeah, he has a lot of range. Like, he can be a lot of things. He's a really good actor, obviously. But
So, speaking of Tennant, this is one of my favorite Tennant episodes. And don't get me wrong, like I said to Tony earlier, the capabilities that the show has, from going to scary to campy to so and so, this is one of those fun ones. This is the Unicorn and the Wasp. And if, for those of you who don't know, the young lady that is right here in the brown flapper dress, that's Agatha Christie. Like, hey, if we're going to do something, let's pick a historical figure. Yes, we've seen all sorts of other ones, but I mean, to just pull an author out of time to do an episode, like, and I know we don't have a picture for it, but Tony mentioned, you know, the Vincent Van Gogh episode. I should have picked that one too. I can watch that last scene. It was going and I will cry every single time.
I would too. I'm only watching it on TikTok, and I get emotional watching it.
Also, the actor that they got for that was just, I mean, spot on.
Yes.
But yeah, again, it just, like I said, it just comes back to the fact that the capability that the show has to be able to write fun, campy episodes, or you know, ones that are like, okay, here's someone in history, and we're going to turn your literal character who writes murder mysteries into the whole episode of a murder mystery. Mm-hmm. So for me, this is just one of those prime examples of, hey, this is some of the potential that you get watching this show. Mm-hmm.
Very next quick slide. Shout out to Felicity Jones in the front there, by the way. Completely forgot she was in this episode.
Oh, and that's the other thing too. What you got to love about all these, you know, BBC actors that are, you know, actors that you saw in the series have now gone on. Like for me, I know Tony said about all the actors that have gone on to things. For me, I was extremely happy to see Alex Kingston come onto the show because I watched her, because I'm old, on ER. Back in the day in the 1900s.
Yeah.
There are so many Star Wars actors that show up as Doctor Who.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, even David Tennant now, he's in Star Wars in Ahsoka.
And he was in Marvel under Jessica Jones.
Oh yes. My God. Can I just quickly say, like, I watched Doctor Who first before Jessica Jones came out. Yeah. I cannot remove David Tennant from Kilgrave. He still horrifies me. Watching the 15th Doctor, like, this recent year, oh, I still see the Kilgrave.
But then he can be Scrooge McDuck. He can be Scrooge McDuck.
Thank you.
And Scrooge McDuck, yeah.
Excellent Scrooge McDuck.
All right, we're going to go to the next slide here.
This one's me. So on the flip side, this is one of the first big Matt Smith episodes, who for me is my doctor. I know a lot of people in the States go Tennant because he had such a large range. For me, it's Matt Smith. Simply because you see in Matt Smith the fun, campy, the childhood naivete that he can bring to it, but he can turn right on a dime to that vengeful, war-torn veteran who has seen shit, you know. And with what I saw and what I got out of this particular episode is that I had a very tumultuous 20s, you know, and I had a lot of rage, and I get angry very easily still to this day. My wife, who's across the room, can attest to it if I don't keep myself in check. So this episode where he just lets it all go because he wants to try and save everybody, and he puts himself first, but with his own rage is... and the hurt and the pain and the anguish that he's experienced over all the years. That's it for me. And then, you know, you're coming off of the whale spaceship, you know?
Yeah.
This one's mine. I can listen to that song over and over and over. The little girl right singing.
I have it playing in my head as we speak.
Exactly. So this is one of the big moments where Matt Smith really made it for me. And at the same time, he was a smart ass. I mean, think about it. The 11th hour when he was putting his clothes on together and says, is this planet safe? Is this, you know, basically run.
Yeah, no, he literally just said that music playing now out in my head, by the way, is deep. Oh my God. It's so good.
And interestingly enough, when my wife and I, when we had our procession into our reception for our wedding, it was the BBC Wales Channel 4 version of the Doctor Who theme.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. So would you say like Reigns of Akatan has your favorite Doctor Who moment though, Tom?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's always varying. It's wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
There's so many.
Exactly. Yeah, right. So I'd say it's in my top five. We'll put it that way.
Fair.
Ooh.
Oh.
So on the flip to it, you know, we've talked about emotional episodes. We've talked about fun, campy episodes. Another great thing that the Doctor does so well is scary.
The you know, horror.
The Weeping Angels were supposed to be like a one-off. It was also possibly even a backdoor pilot for Sally Sparrow, which never did happen, but that's okay. But the impact that the angels have had, and they've used it almost, you know, just as a plot device over the next few seasons, just as, oh, hey, we need something, throw an angel in. And then they've adapted the lore and everything and how they're quantum locked. And, you know, if you're looking at them, they don't move. But then, you know, later we got the whole idea of the angel inside Amy's head because she was imagining it, because that which holds the image of an angel becomes an angel.
I would like to quickly add on too. Blink is the highest rated Doctor Who episode of all time.
Season 3, episode 10.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And then, you know, how they figure out how to stop it. Oh, well, four of them around and then, you know, they're out. It really is just such a great episode to introduce such a great villain, and also just to give you probably some of the best jump scares in Doctor Who come from these particular characters. And what's interesting, if you guys didn't know, you guys probably know, but anybody else who's not watching or new to watching Who, you know, they got dancers to be able to do these character actors or the characters of the angels, because they just have to have that perfect
stillness
posture to do the everything.
Yeah. No, what's even funnier to me is that Stephen Moffat came up with the idea of the angels because he was walking to work one day, saw the angels, and then the next day they were just gone. So the fact that they came from such a basic ass situation in life, it's I love it.
I love Stephen Moffat.
Ah, same, man.
That's like such simple stuff where it's like it's this, and then I loved when he became the showrunner. And it's like the River Song was introduced, and the storyline, the way he weaves storylines together, and the way he really, like, when the Doctor needed his friends the most, they were there. But also, that doesn't mean you're going to win the way you think you're going to win. Just subdirection and subversion. I love Stephen Moffat's writing.
He's a great writer. I love him.
Let's move along, Tony.
I'm out. Ah, yes. Okay, so this one's me. Look, considering how short of a tenure Christopher Eccleston had as the Ninth Doctor, this is the moment that I fell in love with Doctor Who. It was The Empty Child, and it was just the moment he goes, just this once, everybody lives, Rose.
Yes.
Oh, it's this genuinely. And this was also written by Stephen Moffat, mind you, as we were just talking about it.
With Jack Hartnett,
such an excellent story, and oh my god, talking about favorite Doctor Who moments, this is definitely top five. Occasionally, sometimes even just number one if I'm in like a happy mood and I just want to feel good, you know. But just briefly, even talk about Christopher Eccleston. Like I said, one season, man made an impact, and he's recently come back for audiobooks, and it makes me so hopeful that he could come back for more one day, because like he was supposed to originally be the War Doctor in the 50th anniversary, but since they couldn't get him back, they then came up with, we'll just make the War Doctor separate. We'll bring in John Hurt. Could have been a really interesting opportunity if he was the Doctor who pressed the button, right?
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
His quote at that one con made me sad. He was like, I looked at the script, and when I passed on in the scene, but they came up with, he was like, they always end up making better ideas when I'm not in them. Like, no.
That man beats himself up too much. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
No, but he deserves all the love. But yeah.
So much love.
Ooh, the library.
Love it.
So,
hey, who turned out the lights?
Again, it comes down to the fact that, see, now for me, the library ran that fine line of creepy, spooky, fun, and run, because let's be honest, it was Tenet. You know, it's funny, actually, most of the ones I picked were all Tenet, even though I say Matt Smith's my doctor. You know, but again, we're here to convince Tony, he who is not on the screen, why you should be watching.
Listening.
Yeah, and it's the voice.
We'll quit you later.
Just with this villain alone, when like you could tell that they're terrifying, that they're like they're dangerous, but Tennant still goes, I'm the doctor, we're in a library, look me up, and they just kind of retreat, like, oh, we'll give you a day.
I love that moment. But also, like, this is the first time we're also introduced to River Song. Were we about to say the same thing there?
Probably. You go ahead.
I was just, yeah, no, this is the first time we're also introduced to River Song, yes, who is such an iconic part of Doctor Who's lore, right? And we won't spoil what happens in this because we know Tony's going to watch Doctor Who now.
Yes, of course.
Well, let's steer away from that. And
we have somebody that's kind of like that's come in and commandeered. I want to throw somebody else in here real quick, just for the sake.
Is it Will?
Hi, everybody. Hey, I don't know, even know if I don't even know if you can hear me.
Yeah,
yep.
We can hear you.
Awesome.
Sing once again to me with that strange duet.
Right.
So if you don't
we're a little bit of the stream is stronger yet.
Will had a little bit of still chasing after his dogs, and so he 3D printed the Phantom of the Opera mask to cover up the scars on his face.
Well, actually, it's just to try and make this already unattractive mess just a little more attractive. And I mean what we're normally working with, not what you don't see. I mean, you know, the long story short is that I found out that asphalt diving is not actually a sport, so that's good to know. And the part of the body least productive in breaking the fall is probably the left side of your face. So, I printed this up to cover it up. I also have a Kyle Rayner inspired Green Lantern mask.
I was going to ask, do you want me to throw on a mask so that you don't feel singled out?
No, not at all. Not at all. Actually, it doesn't look too bad now. I've been, you know, I got a bandage on, but I thought this would be quirky and cute. And I'm sorry to just like jump into the conversation because I didn't quite hear it, but I had to be a part of it because Doctor Who, I am a Newvian, I'll admit, but I still desperately love this show, and even at its worst I want to love it, and when it's at its best I absolutely adore it. So I just had to be a part of it, but allow me to now just kind of slip back into the stream so I can gauge the consciousness and hopefully from a hotel room no less bring a little insight from my side as well.
We'll be sure to shout you out.
That's awesome. Yeah.
It is good seeing you, though, Will, for the record.
Heck yeah, man.
Thanks. Now that I've brought things to a grinding halt, what were we talking about?
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were at the hop off or not for a moment.
So I was trying to explain to Tony the whole fact that, you know, what the best part I love about Who is that how you can tell a different story. We've talked about scary episodes. We've talked about fun episodes. We've talked about emotional episodes. That it just gives you the whole range that you get. It's not just a one trick pony to Tony.
That is very, very true. You know, unless you're talking about a lot of the Russell T. Davis driven stories, but let's ignore that for now.
So what you guys have been saying that's been most appealing, and I'm going to throw my face back up here just for a minute since, you know, Will can do it.
It's a nice face.
It's a good face.
What I found most interesting is I'm compelled to watch the show, one, because of what it's kind of like the group, it's a positive peer pressure. Like, I really want to be a part of this conversation. I want to know what's going on. And I realize it's something that I've not delved into. And I didn't realize that people that I care about, this team, absolutely, you know, love it. And for the fact that you guys like it, I want to know more about it. I will say the little bits and pieces I've seen, the Van Gogh episode, I think there was, I even saw parts with Jodie Whittaker with the, what was it? The Rosa Parks episode. That makes its way through, through TikTok a lot. And then, of course, one thing that I've noticed that you guys, like, you're talking about a whole lot of stuff. Where did it go? It disappeared. Never mind. I had a picture and it was gone. But the thing that I know of, the big bad, was always the Daleks, and you guys didn't even mention to bring that up in the slideshow. But
that's for the
idea episode. That there are different genres within this, that it's not every episode is a cookie cutter of the next. You know, a lot of fatigue sometimes happens with shows. I love Smallville, but a lot of Smallville can be the same thing over and over again. It's a labor of love at a certain point where you just have to kind of keep trudging through and hoping it gets better. But it really does sound like there are many opportunities for you to just be experiencing something completely different. And I think that's the most exciting thing for me as an outsider wanting to get in.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something else, Tony, too, because it is genius in the fact that it is a show that is ongoing, yet can be almost anthology in a way if it weren't for these same characters. But the thing that you have to realize with this show, okay, it is, first of all, continuity nerds love it, both for the callbacks to the original run and kind of what's been cooking now. The other great thing about this series is that you get the right writer writing the right things, and you can literally have a moment like I've had, because I came into this in the Matt Smith era. I powered through all of the reboot until Matt Smith's regeneration. By the end of that first season, I'm weeping because a woman is saying something we've heard a million times. Something borrowed, you know what I mean? Something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. So much so that I was just weeping in my family room the other day thinking about it because a goddamn cop show was having a wedding.
Is it the Rookie?
I was going to say, was it the Rookie? Hell yeah! Rookie.
Oh yeah.
I love that show.
Daddy Cop got me bad, y'all.
That's two episodes in a row of fandoms where we've referenced Rookie. So I don't
know. That's a win in my book.
Now I have to watch it.
I love it so much.
It's good cop drama, honestly.
Yeah. It is. It is. I mean, the only thing about it that I will say, not to get off who, but you know, like one thing I will say in powering through it, that it does, like, wait a minute, Homeboy is a rookie and now we're in a third world nation doing what? So, you know, it does fall into the trap of how do we one up our critical things. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's amazing to watch. Sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. Moving on.
Okay. This was me, and I love, like, there are things about each doctor that I love, so I can't really pick a favorite, but I feel like I need to defend Jodie with my life because she's like one of the most polarizing doctors. But if you give her a chance, if you look at her as just the doctor and the characters and the companions that she has, she's phenomenal. And there are some standout episodes. I think one of my favorites is Kablam. Basically, the villain is Amazon, like Space Amazon.
Yeah.
And it's so good.
That was a fun episode. I did enjoy that one.
The thing I will say about Whitaker that I will probably go to my dying day saying, which is right doctor, wrong time.
Yeah.
I think in a different showrunner's hands.
I was going to say, I feel like it's the showrunner's fault, not Jody's.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm a Power Ranger guy, so trust me, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. And scene.
No, honestly, like, Jody gets so much hate, but like, if you can get past some of the
questionable
writing and choices, Jody is such an astonishing actor, and I understand why they casted her as the Doctor. She's just phenomenal.
Yeah, post Broadchurch, this is what really projected her.
She absolutely won me over. I think it was Comic-Con 2018, like Thursday or Friday in Hall H was a panel you could easily get into, but it was basically like Entertainment Weekly's Women of Hollywood Focus or something, Women of Entertainment. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what exactly it was, but she was part of that panel and she said something that resonated with me so much because she was reacting to being asked, well, what is it like being the first female doctor? And her take was, it isn't anything because the doctor's an alien. So what do I know what it means for the doctor to be one gender or another? It doesn't, because that's their reality, not mine. And I was like, wow, that was way more profound for the show with villains with plungers on their arms.
Originally claws.
Yeah,
they were originally claws.
So moving on to another doctor, which I think has been the most compelling for me to want to get into it.
Hey.
He's great. He's so good.
He's wonderful. Just from the two, like one and a half episode, really, yeah, that we've gotten him in.
It's all I need.
Already stamped his mark on the Whovian world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down.
Season comes out on my birthday. I'm so excited.
Does it actually?
Yes, May 11th is my birthday. It's coming out that day.
It was made for you, Nico. It was specifically for you.
They saw the cosplay. They were like, "Yeah, yes, drop it."
Can I just take a moment to say the real reason why I rigged all of this up from a hotel room was because there was no way I was not going to be on screen with Nico. I just want that.
I will.
This man has saved me from death many times, y'all. There you go. All right.
I would like to quickly say, though, his sonic screwdriver, I think I like it now. Honestly, after that one prison special, I kind of like it.
It's the most ergonomic, and if TiVo taught us anything, it's that the ergonomic shape of the peanut is perfect for anything you're going to usually use, like a remote.
Okay, yeah. So explain something for me, you guys. The sonic screwdriver, like I was talking about this today because I'm like, I'm getting into a show that I know barely anything about. I had this epiphany where I'm like, I know why Harry Potter was such a success, because Doctor Who is basically the technological version of Harry Potter in a sense. Like the sonic screwdriver is his magic wand, and you can't tell me otherwise unless you guys can tell me otherwise. Like,
oh, that's exact. No, Tony, that's exactly what the writers have said. It was, you know, we need to keep the story moving. So the doctor comes to a locked door. He needs to just have the door unlocked. That's what the sonic screwdriver is.
And mine, but it's also a great pen.
Yep. It's also a great ongoing joke.
Mm-hmm. It is. But I will say, like, those moments where the doctor doesn't have the sonic, though, are some of the best moments as well. Like, as we've seen in, was it Wild Blue Yonder?
Mm-hmm.
Just him not having his sonic was such an amazing episode where you have to see the doctor work everything out within his mind just to do everything and see that ADHD nature within him, pretty much.
Like, there's a reason why
that was my favorite special.
So
I'm parsed at a 15 showing up.
So of all the doctors, we know the doctors can come back. The doctors can team up at certain points. Are there any companions that you guys would love to see come back to the series?
Absolutely not. No.
New episode part two.
I was going to say that would be a good part two because the companions themselves deserve an entire episode dedicated to themselves.
And don't get me wrong. They've had the companions come back and have already done cameos in several times. I don't know if I would really want to have a companion come back for a longer stint than maybe one or two episodes.
Yeah.
Like, let's have them serve their purpose as them being back and as a plot device that makes sense in the story. That's what I would prefer.
I was also going to say,
Johnny. I was just going to say, if there's a unit spinoff show,
that would be dope.
You're going to see them all the time.
Place. But, I mean, even with that, like, we now have that show where the companions of old, of Classic Who, have come back. We've seen the doctors themselves back as well, but in like an older form. So the possibility is there as well for them to have their own independent stories to in some way continue certain narratives that may not have been finished originally in Classic Who. What's it called? I think it's called like Adventures in the TARDIS or something.
Adventures in the TARDIS.
Yeah. So the potential of having companions return, especially with characters like Martha, who was honestly done a little bit dirty, to have them have somewhat of a satisfying conclusion, to have them have more material to show us more as to why they should be so loved, it's there. They just need to honestly take the shot.
And then we got River, and I mean, that's just a whole kettle of fish right there.
Or else my wife would have struck me down once we got off this podcast because it's her favorite Doctor Who character, and honestly, this is one of the things that we bond over, especially when it comes to her relationship with the 11th Doctor or Matt Smith. Their whole dynamic, she melts every time Matt Smith looks at her a certain way. Like it's her favorite thing in the world. And like, I enjoy watching her watch that. And I got to meet Alex at a con one time, and she was the sweetest person to me. I told her how beautiful she was, and she said, "Flattery will get you everywhere." And she,
I gotta meet her.
Yeah. I had her sign my, my 8x10 with her, and, I got her to write "Hello, Sweetie" up there for my wife, and she added spoilers in there. I was like, "Thank you so much, sir." So she's a wonderful person, and River Song, every episode she's in is probably
steals a highlight.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
I especially love "Husband of River Song," especially.
Oh yeah,
thank you. Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. It's amazing how well. First of all, it was so nice that they were both able to have the character's story completely told it for the Matt Smith era. And then they found an effective way to bring her back in the Capaldi area. One, which again, that episode, there's a moment where technically we find out she's stretching for time, but there's a moment she's monologuing about something. Yeah. And I'm getting just as worked up as she is. And that then leads to one of the best comedic moments I've seen on television.
So, Mickey, I'm going to throw this out here for you. Since your wife swoons over Matt Smith, I dare you to find on the internet the original promo pictures of Matt Smith.
Okay.
And I'm talking Goth Smith.
Oh, that should be interesting. Are we talking Morbius Goth or?
So the original, just a quick show of hands. Have anybody actually seen these pictures besides me?
I have not. But I'm going to Google it.
So when Matt Smith originally came out, they really wanted to turn the tide from Tenet. And like he had a trench coat and like the big old emo hair, like.
Mm-hmm.
Like welcome to the Black,
I see it.
Black TARDIS Parade. You found it?
I found
it was hard for a while to find.
Honestly, like it's kind of a mood, like with a black shirt. I dig it.
Yes.
I dig it.
Anyhow.
Brooding.
Very
rude. I just put in Goth Matt Smith Doctor.
Yay to the internet.
Right? Well,
guys, thanks for letting me just rudely drop in. But this effective gag on my face is also shoving the bandage into my eye. So I think it's time for me to wrap it up. But honored to have been a part of this with all of you. Again, my apologies for just bursting in.
No, I mean, we're going to have an episode 2, an episode 3 now probably, maybe an episode 4.
Awesome. We got time.
We got time. Yeah, it sounds like this is going to be, and especially once I start watching the show, we're going to come back and do a recap like of where I'm at and how I feel.
We should do like a weekly check-in, I think.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, we've got 60 years.
Spell a new show.
We're good.
And then we have like what, like 3 TV show spinoffs. We got Sarah Jane Adventure, Class, Torchwood.
Talking Who. Let's do this.
This last slide causes anxiety because I remember some of these faces from when I saw Who on public television as a kid.
Oh man.
And that's okay. Mm-hmm. But this one I also picked because again, you know, it honors the legacy because this was when Jodie Whittaker had regenerated and inside she was having these feelings of, and this, you know, and her previous selves were coming back. And big shout out to Hartnell for coming in here and taking the place of the first doctor. Like, yeah, as much as he was the janitor at Hogwarts, he has killed it.
No, he is the
as the doctor.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's also that small spinoff, Adventures in Space and Time, which was talking about the production side of trying to get the first episode of Doctor Who out and how we've seen how he would look into the future. And they did Matt Smith and then they redid it again with Shooty, which
and
I
we
think
even
was
see
great.
The Master pop up in it briefly, too, as one of the like production executives or something like that.
So it's fantastic. I've had the pleasure of meeting right above me, 7.
Oh, no, not Colin Baker. Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of meeting Sylvester McCoy. Me and my wife, we met him down at a con outside Philly years ago, and he was just the sweetest guy to talk to. Actually, both of them were there, weren't they, honey? Gret? she's got earphones in too. But no, we had the both of them to wear, and I got the I was not familiar because they weren't on my PBS back in Philly at home. But a friend of mine was like, "Oh my god, gotta get the thing." So I got them, and they were just nice to talk to.
Yeah,
genuinely.
No, I think all of the doctor, like all the actors who have portrayed the doctor, are honestly some really nice people from what I hear and understand from fan experiences. So.
And then we've got, you know, poor old Eight over there who has, let's give him his flowers just simply for the fact
his that his audiobooks are so absolutely amazing too.
Oh my God.
I'm loving them.
And he's half human on his mother's side too, just saying.
Exactly. No, but like
Fox tried so hard. Fox tried so hard. But he
Which
probably
is funny
still,
because
me,
now Disney owns been... Fox and Doctor Who's with Disney Plus.
Yeah, but I would love to see another interpretation of the TARDIS at some point like his.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It was so big and grand. It was like this it was now this is it. Really bigger on the inside.
I also have a quick little fun fact though. Paul McGann and Sylvester McCoy. They keep a tally of every single time a Scottish actor gets casted as the doctor. So they'll message Colin Baker and then them and just like, we got another one.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, they have an accent like he's from the north. Well, everywhere is a north. Hey, I like that picture too.
As do I.
So what do you think, Tony? You finally convinced?
Do you have any questions?
So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I think I've just been waiting for the right moment to do it. And, you know, it's let's face it, TikTok, you get encouraged to watch a lot of things. For whatever reason, I was inspired to watch Jupiter Ascending again because clips of it was going online and I immediately regretted it. I'm never going to do this. I'm never going to let TikTok govern something. And then, of course, Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets then started showing up. And I'm like, I'll watch that again. And then I completely regretted it. So I'm trusting you guys.
Rebel Moon.
So I saw Rebel Moon. Okay. TikTok video. So which doctor should I start with? What? Again, you guys have talked about 12th Doctor, 11th Doctor, all of this other stuff. So, there's different series, different seasons. Like, where do I start?
I mean, okay. So, Tony, do you want to just start from the beginning or do you want to be shown an episode that'll just kick the door down and go like, okay, this is the vibes of Doctor Who. I think I can get behind this. Let's start from the very beginning now.
Let's face it. I am the kind of guy, like, I would like to start where it's where I can, like, kind of build up and appreciate all of the stuff that you guys have been talking about and then go from there. I mean, listen, I've binged Fairy Tale. I've binged lots of different animes. So what are we saying? We're saying the ninth?
Then start with series one, the ninth Doctor, episode one, titled Rose.
Yep. And just the power Rose. Through, okay? Because, like, I remember three episodes in, I was like, I'm not watching this. And I turned it off for like a month. So I was like, I ain't watching this. And I came back, and it was I finished it, and it was the best thing I ever did.
Mm-hmm. Tony, just promise me this. When you're doing it, if you're gonna get to a certain point and call it quits, get past episode 10.
Okay.
I'll say for me, when it comes to Eccleston, I can very clearly remember as if it was yesterday how many years ago I was in my apartment in San Diego, had a nice cup of tea and a soda, putting it on my little box that I was using as a coffee table. I was there, I was into it because it's what they did, because production and everything, they had to be campy. They had to do all the stuff that you had that was a connection to me to the old series that I would watch on Saturday afternoon, my, you know, grandmother's house when I got shoved off over there. So for me, that's what really hooked me back into Who is that. It's like, oh, they're not throwing all the money at it. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. I'm really gonna have to work on the Eccleston thing because I saw him in Gone in the remake of Gone in 60 Seconds. Yep. I saw him as
Malekith the Accursed
in the G.I. Joe movie. And so I haven't had a lot of good experiences with him. Matt Smith, the only experience I've had with him is Morbius. So
I will try to refresh
my palette with them and go with that. So okay. So the Rose
Series one. series one, not season one. We're now getting two of.
Don't worry about it. I will look this up. And what I'll do is I'll keep you guys posted. But you guys, can you promise me that you'll come back to talk about companions?
Absolutely.
Villains,
we'll talk about every single characters, doctor.
Absolutely. And let me just tell you, this has been a good episode. We've been holding strong with 24 viewers throughout all of the different outlets, which is great. Which has been really good because like it's been crazy since the beginning of this year. So you guys have definitely been entertaining enough for people to watch. And I'm learning a lot, so I'm ready to jump into Doctor Who and give it a try.
Honestly, for any of the 24 viewers, they should just submit questions and then we can answer them as well. I'm sure. there
are 24 quiet viewers because I even threw in the chat there, like, what's your favorite Doctor or favorite moment? And nobody replies. And I know it's not just us, like with the wrestling channel and stuff, like the wrestling show, like Rich will throw out ideas for like questions and people just don't reply. Let's face it, us nerds, we don't always like to jump in like you guys at the beginning and just start talking or communicating. And again, this is a safe space. So if you're comfortable just watching, we love you for that. If you ever want to jump in, listen, none of these guys are going to bite except for maybe Tom over here. But if he does, because it's a playful bite.
So, I talk to anybody.
Oh, that kind of bite.
Rare. But we're just past an hour. Is there anything you guys want to like say before we get off? Anything special that you want to kind of just point out? You've got just a moment to say anything else.
Make sure to tune back in tomorrow at 11 o'clock to make sure to see me doing my Power Ranger panel.
Yes. Yes. Make sure.
We've got Tony. Tom.
What's that? That's how you know you've fallen down the Doctor Who hole.
You don't need this.
I now own more sonic screwdrivers and lightsabers, which is a big thing for me.
Hey, I just got my first lightsaber, so you know, well, not my first. I had one before I gave it away, but now I've got my first like NeoPixel, which I'm excited about. Oh, so, Level Up lightsabers hooked me up, and or Level Up sabers hooked me up. Yeah. So I'm really thankful for that.
Better than
but with Master that,
Allen,
I regret not getting that. Yes, Master Allen, we met him, and also kind of did an interview with him. We'll be posting that video soon. But for those of you who are here, we just remind you, please be sure to like, subscribe, turn on notifications so you can get more information about Nerd Initiative. Make sure you follow these guys, Nico, David, Jonathan, Mickey, and off the cuff, Tom.
We're just pointing at everybody.
Be sure to come back for that Power Rangers panel. It's going to be awesome. Also, if you're going to be in the Richmond area and you're going to be at GalaxyCon, go look up Hops Geek News, if not just to be at their panel, but to see them because they're amazing people. I can tell you right now.
Cheers to them.
Matt's so much fun. Love the guy. Be sure to check out our merch store. Helps keep the lights on. Will was in here. You can always check out his show, Netheads. And then remember, you can always check us out along with our wrestling show.
From the top rope.
Turn a page, which, yes. And let's see here. What else?
I know those guys. There? That's me.
Oh, and if you guys don't know, we do actually get money if you buy a Lego set through us. And of course, with FQ97 coming out, follow that QR code. It'll get you to the Lego site, but it'll also make sure we get credit for the purchase.
That is good to know because I need to buy some Star Wars sets.
Let me know which ones you're looking for. I can send you the link.
The
it's fine.
And this doesn't do anything for my Doctor Who sets. I want to let you guys be aware of this. If you are a Lego fan, like I am, if you go to Walmart, and I don't know if this was for you, Johnny, but if you go to Walmart right now, there are actually Lego sets that are on discount on clearance by Walmart. In front of, I asked Lego. Lego cannot set the prices at Walmart, so you can go check them out. I actually have the tiger with the butthole.
Love it. We love the butthole tiger.
Yeah. I got that. It's normally like what, 60 or 80 bucks. I got it for 40.
Here's the thing though, Tony. No, you forget. I'm in Canada. We don't have that deal right now. I just got back from from Walmart myself. I bought a copy of the Marvels on Blu-ray.
But also, if you're there, they also have the Star Wars, the Cody head, the bust on discount as well. So be sure to check those things out.
So if you're not in Canada, Walmart's got Lego on sale.
But let's go ahead and do one more time. Let you guys plug your stuff in. Mickey, go for it.
Cell phone, wallet, keys. everywhere, especially on Nerd Initiative. Come talk to me sometime.
Also, you can find him on The Real Study with the movie reviews on Sunday nights. Jeez, I almost messed that up. David, go.
I am Xanatos1138 on all social platforms. I am almost at 5K on TikTok. So if you follow me, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Get him to 5K before TikTok is shut down, y'all.
Yes. Johnny.
I am Marvelous Johnny everywhere on my socials. Just make sure you put Marvelous with two L's because, like I said, I'm Canadian and we use two L's here pretty much.
Yes. And when he writes articles and he says color, he says C-O-L-O-U-R. So.
Oh, do you want me to spell center for you too where I go?
Listen, I just replaced all of those when you did your articles. That's
yeah, I noticed that.
Nico, go.
Nico Skywalker on TikTok, Skywalker Nico on Instagram, the Sonic Screwdriver Collector.
Yes, which he needs to get the next one. And then, of course, last and certainly not least, Tom Go.
Hi, I'm Tom. You can find me on Nerd Initiative. But in the meantime, you can check me out on Turn of Page every single Tuesday night, 8 p.m. right here on the Nerd Initiative. In the meantime, make sure to check out all these wonderful fine friends of mine. Go to their websites, click the things, do the likes, do the things. Trust me, I can keep doing this all the time. So, again, to everybody out there in Cyberland, always a pleasure.
And we will see you guys in 2 weeks.